What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Now, the New York Times just came out with a story where Special Counsel Robert Mueller is looking back at how Trump had the top White House lawyer try and convince Attorney General Jeff Sessions not to recuse himself from the Russia probe. But, of course, Sessions went ahead and recused himself, and we got Mueller and the current mess. But Robert Mueller is now investigating whether that order or that suggestion represents a prosecutable obstruction of justice, which that is a bit of a reach. But there's a revelation there. If he's over there looking at whether Trump wanting Sessions to investigate the Russia collusion issue is obstruction of justice, it's another reminder that Mueller never found any evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. And as Paul Manafort has made very, very clear in his lawsuit, that's outside Mueller's mission statement. Mueller was appointed to investigate Trump-Russia collusion. He's found zero evidence of it. And so once again, he's on a fishing expedition, trying to appear that he's relevant, trying to get Donald Trump. Now, do you remember a while back, there was this professor, George Ciccariello Mayer, at Drexel University, and he was forced to resign from Drexel University over a tweet in which he said, "All I want for Christmas is white genocide." And today he's announced that New York University has hired him. And New York University says that his status is as a visiting scholar, but it is an unpaid appointment. Basically, all New York University is doing is they're letting him on the campus. Now, this one, I think, is going to upset a lot of people. And I'm going to preface it by reminding you all of a story that came out a couple of weeks ago, where in Sweden, the church is being directed to talk about God and Jesus in non-gender terms, which is going to make it very tricky when you're talking about the Son of God. I guess they're going to go to Child of God or some other word here. And I think a lot of people are saying that this gender neutral has gone way too far, because the world is what the world is. Beliefs are what the beliefs are. And trying to rewrite them is going to anger a lot of people. So in that same vein, an elite liberal arts college, Swarthmore College, is offering a class called Queering the Bible for the coming fall semester, in which it promises to, quote, destabilize long-held assumptions, end quote, about what the Bible says about gender. And the course description basically says the course will survey queer and trans readings of biblical texts while introducing students to the complexities of construction of sex, gender, and identity in one of the most influential literary works produced in ancient times. It's a very long-winded way of saying they're going to try and retell the Bible in gender-neutral terms. And there is some meat in there, because there are some hints of homosexuality in a positive light in various parts of the Bible. I'm not going to go into that right now here. But I have two concerns. One is that this gender nonsense has gone way too far. Somebody just sent me a very clever cartoon saying that if I had a dollar for every one of the genders that are out there, I would have $2 and a whole pile of counterfeits, which I think really does state it. But this, it really did get ridiculous. And I think it's part of trying to keep us all confused about who we are and what we are. It's part of the New World Order. Now, over in Germany, a brief shining moment of common sense. Germany's top court has ruled that a transsexual woman whose frozen sperm was used to fertilize an egg can only be registered as the child's father. And the court rejected the woman's appeal against a lower court ruling, preventing her from being legally listed as the child's mother. Now, the woman changed sex in 2012, and her partner gave birth to a child 3 years later using the plaintiff's sperm. It almost reminds me of that Monty Python's that scene from Life of Brian, where this one guy says, "I want to be a woman, I want to have babies," and the other one is saying, "You don't have a womb, there's nowhere for the fetus to gestate." And it does almost seem like there's a war between reality and this fantasy world of all the snowflakes. We're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Here's another example of an out-of-control social system. This is a story that appeared over in womensystems.com. And basically, it has to do with a gentleman, 63 years old. His name is Eugene Wright, and he's retired. And he was outside his home in June of last year when Meadville police and a representative with Stairways Behavioral Health confronted him. And they explained that they were there because at 10 o'clock that morning, Eugene Wright was at an orthopedic office threatening people. And Eugene was not at the orthopedic office. He was still working at that time. He was about to retire, and he was at work. And the police and Stairways Behavioral Health never checked his identity. And the police hauled him off to Meadville Medical Center, where apparently doctors injected Wright with Haldol, which is an antipsychotic medication, and Ativan, which is used to treat anxiety disorders. And apparently, after a while, they realized they had the wrong guy after giving him all this melt your brain medication, and they apologized. And to show how sorry they were, they gave him a $50 gift card to a local steakhouse. That should make it all better. Well, Eugene said no, and he's filed a lawsuit. And he really should. Terrible. Now, over in Oklahoma, and Jeff Sessions is going to be unhappy about this, on the June primaries this year, Oklahoma voters will get a chance to vote their opinion regarding medical marijuana legalization. It's State Question 788 on the primary election ballot. This is going to shape up to a states' rights issue. And again, remember, when the United States was set up by the Founding Fathers, the states were sovereign entities. They were basically nations unto themselves, and they were working basically as a collective under that central government, which was there to regulate interstate commerce, basically arbitrate disputes between the states, and that was it. Same thing with the European Union. It's just, we're a bunch of separate sovereign states, we're going to work together, and it's turned into something else entirely. That's why the name of this country is the United States, plural, of America. The states were supposed to be sovereign. So at some point, I think there's going to be a big states' right issue over this, possibly even a constitutional crisis. Now, getting back to the issue of governments just messing with our lives to justify their power and their pay and enlargement, a lot of people, when they lose their jobs, they're turning to other entrepreneurial activities. And one that is very common is to make baked goods at home and then sell them. And in 49 states, this is perfectly legal. But apparently in New Jersey, it is not. And there was this woman who lost her job, and she started supplementing her income by baking things in her home and selling them to friends and neighbors. And apparently the state has come down on her very hard, saying that selling just one cake, one cookie, one muffin, the fine can be as high as $1,000. Because by golly, we've got to protect our friends over there in the commercial baking industry. We can't have people making and selling baked goods at home. That cuts into the profits, and profits are above all. If you really think about it, that's what lies behind a lot of laws that you wonder, why is this here? It's there to take away from the American people their ability to make or grow things for themselves and make them dependent on commercial for-profit operations. That's what's behind all these zoning laws that say you can't grow vegetables on your own property. Just incredible, rampant greed and fascism. Now, a little bit of good news. Do you remember over in New York, they had this surveillance program on mosques? Well, it's been shut down. And apparently New York's mayor has killed off the mosque surveillance program and is diverting the money to security infrastructure, which I presume is more cameras, more microphones, and things like that. All right, let's get back to computers here because there's a lot going on here. Apple has admitted that all iPhones, iPads, and Macs are at risk from these Intel and ARM chip design flaws / backdoors that could expose billions of people's personal data to hackers. Every one of these devices are at risk of being hacked. And these are basically the Meltdown and Spectre bugs discovered by security researchers. And these are actually in the metal of the chip. And again, it's a legitimate question. Are these really design flaws? Or given how similar the outcome of the flaws are these in fact mandated NSA backdoors? And Apple is warning its customers to only download software for its platforms from trusted sources like the App Store. But even the App Store has been compromised on a couple of occasions. And what's really ironic about all of this is back when Apple was first launching, going up against the Windows-based machines, their big selling point was that Apples were safe from hackers. That if you were on Windows, there was all those viruses and malware, and because Apple had this closed architecture, you were safe from this kind of thing. And they sold a lot of machines to concerned people. And it wasn't that Apple was really that more secure. There just weren't enough of them to make it worthwhile for the cyber criminals to write new malware to go after those platforms. They were making plenty of money off the Windows owners. And there weren't enough Apples back then, but there are now. And so I find it ironic looking back at all those commercials they did about how safe and secure Apple products were. Wrong. Now, Intel is claiming that its new security updates will make 90% of modern PCs and phones immune to these chip bugs / backdoors. But experts are saying that, no, it may not be fixable. They may not be able to fix it. And the patches are a temporary fix, and there needs to be a more permanent solution physically built into future microprocessors. Some people are even saying it may be time for the x86 line of processors to simply go away. Now, Linus Torvalds, the inventor and founder of the Linux operating system, he's very outspoken, and he's got a lot of opinions. And he is now one of the loudest critics of Intel's handling of Meltdown, the flaw revealed Wednesday or the back door, that could enable an attacker to steal confidential information, including passwords. And again, what you need to understand is inside the computer device, memory is partitioned off into areas of increasing security. And the most secure one is the kernel memory, the memory that is directly accessed by the core of the operating system. And that is not supposed to be writable from outside or readable from outside, certainly not from outside the physical device. But these bugs slash backdoors on the chips make that possible. So Linus is out there saying that he thinks somebody inside of Intel really needs to take a hard look at the CPUs and actually admit they have problems instead of investing all this money on public relations blurbs to say that everything works as designed. Remember Intel and the original Pentium chip? That had a hardware problem in the divide function. And people were actually getting wrong numeric results until a patch was issued for that as well. So this may be an opportunity for anybody who wants to start a new chip company. Come up with a new, simple, elegant, secure, fast chip. Make sure it really does work, and the world will beat a path to your door. One item that crossed my desk about this issue is that apparently this bug slash backdoor is exploited on computers that have more than one core in the CPU. Now, these days, pretty much every CPU out there is dual core, quad core, eight core. But for some of the really old machines out there that only had a single core CPU, they appear to be immune. Now, here's a big stink about to happen, and I'm sure the stockholders in Intel are not going to be happy about that. Intel CEO Brian Krzanich basically sold off $24 million in Intel stock that he owned before the announcement was made. And Intel was aware of the chip vulnerability. They were working on it, strategizing their conformity, trying to figure out how they were going to survive the storm. And so he sold off his stock knowing there was going to be a problem in the future, but before the problem was publicly known. I think that would qualify as insider trading. More woes for Hewlett-Packard. Hewlett-Packard is, again, forced to recall laptops over problematic batteries that could burst into flames. And apparently, the issue affects devices sold worldwide between December 2015 and December of last year, a week ago. And it's only a small number of laptops that have the problematic batteries, because Hewlett-Packard gets the batteries from multiple vendors, but they're now offering a downloadable tool where you can tell if you've got the bad batteries. And if you do, there's an option in the tool to turn the battery off. You can still use the laptop plugged into the wall. You just can't take it with you until you get a replacement battery. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call. Glenn in California, thank you for waiting so patiently. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Just wanted to throw a little bit of information at you about the Apple issue as far as the security. They developed that OS. When they started that ad campaign, the operating system that they used was based on FreeBSD, which is one of the oldest Unix systems that was developed by MIT
the second oldest.
And Berkeley.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the oldest. Yeah, so it was.
I love
and then
BSD.
They had an yeah, right. And then they had an open source project called Darwin that actually developed the kernel that they used for the system. So it is inherently much more secure than Windows, which was originally designed
desktop. Glenn, I'm going to have to put you on hold. We got to take a break for commercials. Don't hang up.
Okay.
Because I want to come back to this topic. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party. And the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Glenn in California about the Apple and the history of Apple's operating system. And before I give the microphone back to you, I have to challenge your comment that BSD Unix was all that secure, because it wasn't. It's just that in those early days, there weren't a lot of people who were engaged in trying to play games with it. You had the Morris worm that paralyzed the internet on Unix machines here. And I did a quick web search on the commercial, and I found a hacking tutorial against Unix in 1990. There just wasn't a lot of it going on there. But anyway, continue your story.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I mean, Apple's pretty much gone in the toilet, and we can definitely kind of see trends as to when Steve Jobs was there and when kind of government backdoors were being allowed in and out. You know, I think he was the guy that was kind of keeping them alive, and since he's been gone, it's just, you know, gone to heck. And of course, nothing's going to protect you against something that's burnt into the chip. But you know, if you look at the difference, yes, there were ways to hack Unix, but it was much more difficult than Windows, because Windows was never designed to be run on a mainframe with multiple users that was designed to just, you know, I set up a lot of servers in my lifetime. And yes, between Linux, Windows, and Apple servers, the Apple servers were the ones that would run, I'd have uptime for years on those things. So it was just, you know, they were more secure, but you're right. You definitely need to be watching. I think there's a false sense of security, and they've gone in the toilet as far as I'm concerned. It's sad.
Now, I'm fuzzy on this, but I remember reading a book, The Cuckoo's Egg. I think it was about a guy named Kevin Mitnick, and the guy who caught him, identified him. I think that involved Mitnick hacking into a Unix server as well. But this is many, many years ago I read this. But again, back then, there just weren't that many people who were playing these games. There wasn't a lot of money to be made on it. People weren't keeping their personal financial banking information on Unix mainframes. So there wasn't much point to it. Unfortunately, the nature of cybercrime has evolved right alongside the degree of technology. But I just found it ironic that Apple's advertising push to say that they were far more secure than Windows is very ironic, looking at it now that for the last 20 years, their products have had this problem. Yeah.
Yeah,
and don't get me wrong, I like Apple products. I have an iPhone. My wife used to have a MacBook that she used to print her sheet music on until the day the magic smoke escaped from inside. Because we all know computers run with magic smoke. If the magic smoke escapes, the computer stops working.
That's right.
I remember one time I saw a Mac, you know, the little boxy desktop. I saw one of those go, and the smoke was bright orange. Everyone's like applauding the show.
Well, I have to agree with you that, you know, you definitely need to be careful with all of them. But if I had a choice between Linux, Windows, and the Mac as far as security and usability, the Mac OS is still better. You know, none of them are.
No, I'm in agreement with you. If I had the financial resources, I'd rather be running on MacBooks, Mac computers here at home for Claire and her music and for what I do here. We're constrained on the Windows systems by lower cost and the lower cost of the software. I do have a Linux box. In fact, I have three of them. I'm having a lot of fun with the Raspberry Pi architecture, and it does bring back memories of the glory days of the Berkeley Standard distribution. And where I learned Unix BSD was at Robert Abel and Associates, because all of the early software for visual effects and computer animation was developed on Berkeley Unix, and we had a source code license. We had the source code for all the operating system and all the utilities, and it was a great learning opportunity. And a big part of my job when I was there, I wrote a lot of code. I wrote a lot of software to, you know, because back then you couldn't go to the store and just buy it off the shelf. If you didn't write it yourself, you didn't get it done.
Yeah, and that's what I really liked about the Mac, is that you did have that combination of commercial software, but you had the power of all the development tools were right there. You have the command line. You've got, you know, all the Unix tools, plus all the Apple development tools were included for free, whereas Microsoft was charging thousands and thousands of dollars for development tools. And
I've never really fallen in love with Microsoft's development system. It seems almost intentionally designed for multi-personnel departments and not for the individual person who just wants to write a little utility. Anyway, listen, Glenn, thank you for the information and the walk down memory lane here. We're going to take a break for commercials.
Fun.
We have another caller waiting on the line, and we'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com.
www.extendyourlife.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the telephones now. John in Missouri, aloha. Welcome to the show.
Hi,
what's
Mike.
On your mind?
With the Congress's approval in the toilet and the incumbents being able to get reelected at about 90-some percent. How do we ever get out of this?
Well, I've been saying it for a very long time that I think our central federal government is headed for a Soviet Union-style collapse. They're just going to fall apart. We may even be seeing the beginning of it with all these renewed investigations and accusations going back and forth. And I think that would be the best option for everybody, because when it happened to the Soviet Union, very few people were harmed. It was a relatively bloodless regime change. And it's going to be followed by some months of very difficult times. And we're going to have to learn how to take care of ourselves. We're going to have to learn new community skills. Relying on our friends and neighbors, sharing resources to get through the hard times while we put a new government together that's based on some common sense. And that is what I think is ultimately going to happen. This government is irredeemably corrupt. What we saw with all of these so-called investigations into Hillary and the Clinton Foundation and Uranium One, the government is non-functional in terms of what it's supposed to do for the nation and the American people. The last three presidents have not been administrations. It's just been one continuing crime spree.
That's what I've seen. As much as I like it here, and there's nowhere else to go, I might add.
That's the problem with the modern world. There's no more frontier out there. I mean, if it had been possible, when I was much younger, obviously I couldn't do it in my 60s. I would have gotten a Conestoga wagon, put Claire in there, and said, "Let's just get away from all this nonsense. Head on out, be a homesteader."
Well, it ain't a bad thought, but I guess it ain't practical anymore. That was just my wondering. I just get really confused because they don't even want to hide it anymore. That's the part that amazes me. They don't even want to hide their shame.
They want to hide it. We've just reached a flashpoint where they can't anymore. And if there is one thing that we can point to as a victory for the independent media, it is that we have taken away from the government and the corporate media their ability to lie to the public with impunity. And without that, Americans are looking at what's going on. They're very skeptical of the official story. It's definitely a growing movement among the American people that the federal government is, at very best, it's useless. And at very worst, it is a danger to the American people.
You're absolutely right. Mike, thanks for your time.
All right, well, thank you very much as well. And we're going to switch over to Matt in the high desert. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to let you know that I live out here in the high desert near in San Bernardino County.
Yes.
And they're spraying the hell out of us with these chemtrails right now. I mean, you can see it actually floating down and just along the mountains, and you can see.
Okay.
Almost.
Well, thank you for the update.
It's horrible.
Thank you for the update, and we're going to let you go and get on back to the news because we got a lot of things to cover before the end of our program and the start of the weekend. Now, yesterday we were talking about how communities are starting to set up their own municipal net neutral high bandwidth internet to serve their communities. And there was an attempt by the cable company to go to the courts and say, no, you can't do that. You must be dependent on us, and we're going to give priority access to the internet to the guys with the money, which people are not happy with. Now, interestingly enough, there was an open comment period when the FCC was looking at this issue, and there were 22 million comments entered on the website, and quite a few of them were negative, and a great many were positive, but somebody realized the positive ones were being generated by bots. In any event, in the 218-page net neutrality repeal document issued by the FCC, none of the comments were quoted, not one consumer comment. They just knew what they were going to do, and they did it. But I really think the idea of a municipal internet, that's a good idea. That's definitely a good idea. Now, apparently, the FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, has now canceled his planned appearance at the Consumer Electronics Show because of continuing death threats. I think going the way of municipal internet is a much better solution, just so that you have that. Let's take another phone call. Rick in Arizona, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you were talking about Intel. You know, any chip manufacturer that would build chips in Israel, I would not have in my computer. A long time ago, I stuck with AMD. I've known their friendship with Israel for a long time. Now,
yes,
as far as Trump goes and all these scandals, we're going to be hearing the same crap 7 years from now with Mueller and Rosenstein, because they can't crack this case open, because it's just going to expose too many people in Washington, D.C. are interconnected with the media, with all the alphabet agencies. There's no way this is ever going to go any farther than the crap you see right now.
Well, I disagree. As I mentioned earlier in the program, all it's going to take is one person who's facing prosecution to panic and start hurling accusations. And then the accusations are going to fly, and the story is going to crack despite the best efforts to keep it together. Right now, that whole shell around the corruption, that's Humpty Dumpty. And when it falls, all the king's horses and all the king's men are not going to be able to put it back together again. Now, we know that Hillary Clinton has the dirt on a lot of the worst of the skullduggery committed by the United States government through the years, and that is her weapon. She's able to blackmail the entire government to protect her, and we saw it on display during the investigations leading up to the election. The FBI's letting her walk clear on felony Title 18 violations, and we may see it displayed again for a second time. But having announced these renewed investigations, if they still draw a blank, that's only going to further weaken the credibility and legitimacy of the United States government. I think at some point is all going to come on out. I don't think they can keep it together any longer. That's why they're coming down on the independent media as hard.
All right, Moya, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah. Well, let's enter Russia in the 1990s when all the journalists were assassinated. And we're not far from that here if they opened up their mouth too much. That's the kind of crap that can happen here. And I disagree. People are too scared. It's too interconnected with the media. All this crap about Russia is code for mafia. I disagree. And thank you for taking my call.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, Rick. We're going to let you go. And obviously, I disagree with you about this, or I wouldn't be doing this radio show or the website. I just sit back and say it's hopeless and give me another beer. But I'm of a different opinion. And again, my model is the Soviet Union, because everybody inside that Kremlin was working as hard as they could to keep certain things hidden from the people. But eventually it started getting out through the Samizdat, and the Soviet government imploded. And I really think we're on the verge of that happening here to the federal government. And I'm not the only one who says so. Ron Paul is saying that as well. All right, we're getting close to the end of the show here. So, of course, it's time to talk about human-caused global warming. And, we're looking, BBC is now reporting on how the U.S. storm is leaving the bomb cyclone. And it was amazing to see that from space. But apparently this intense cold wave is being drawn in after it. So the snowstorm has come and gone, but the temperatures are still dropping. And it is intensely cold there. Parts of the U.S. and Canada, temperatures are expected to fall below minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. This is from the National Weather Service. In Canada, high winds have knocked out power for tens of thousands of residents in Nova Scotia. This was a bad one. Daily Beast is reporting that New York and Boston may see coldest temperatures on records, as cold as negative 15 degrees from Philadelphia to Boston. And as I said before, I've got family over there. They're sending me photos, and they're all basically just hunkered on in. One of my relatives, because they have a fragile elderly person living with them, has already said if the power goes out, and power is going out in a lot of places over there, they're just going to go to a hotel. Now, over in Chicago, they have had 11 days of daytime high temperatures below 20 degrees. The last time they had that many cold days in a row was 1936. Before that, the last time they had that many cold days in a row was 1895. Now, obviously, a lot of people are looking at this and saying so much for human-caused global warming. And the carbon Nazis are trying to fight back. They've resurrected this idea they were floating a few years ago when we were in the middle of another record-setting winter, saying that global warming causes cold weather. This is a complete reversal from what they were saying back in 2000, that global warming meant there would be no more snow or ice. But they're out there trying to salvage their reputations by saying bitter cold is exactly what we should expect from the climate crisis. That's their new term. It was human-caused global warming. Then when it was obviously not warming, they said climate change. And then when somebody pointed out climate changes all the time anyway, it was redefined a climate crisis. There's a climate crisis, and you are all to blame. Now, over in Boston, they've had a very rough time. They had a 15-foot flood of ice water because of the storm surge under that cyclone. Record low air pressure. And, of course, that draws up the water. It comes on in. People were trapped in cars and homes, and the water froze. It hasn't flowed back to the ocean. There are cars trapped in 3 feet of solid ice. And given how ice expands as it freezes, I'm not holding up much hope that those cars are going to be drivable following the thaw. Now then, apparently, again in Boston, 20,000 are without power there. And a big problem was the winds. One of my relatives were saying they were getting gusts to hurricane force. Right now, overall, gusts exceeding 30 miles per hour. And it's blowing snow and ice with it. So it's pretty severe. Now, Dellingpole is out there saying that the frozen U.S. is paying a terrible price for the green lies. And he's pointing out how, because of all this talk about human-caused global warming, snowfall, thing of the past, please shut down your coal-fired power plants. These states hit by the storm were not prepared. They didn't have enough snow plows. They didn't have enough road grit. And because of the closure of the coal-fired power plants, they weren't able to meet the surge in demand from people trying to keep their homes and businesses heated. And I was saying exactly the same thing before. As these governments believe this global warming, they cut the budget for winter preparations. Then they get a hard winter, and it is a major problem. Apparently down in Florida, following that cold snap, frozen iguanas are dropping out of the trees. Remember we reported how sharks are freezing solid off the coast of Massachusetts and washing ashore. Down in Florida, it's iguanas. They're freezing to death in the trees and falling out of the trees here. More tragic, over in Akron, Ohio, a 64-year-old man was found frozen to death by a Mobile Meals worker. Apparently, Mobile Meals was delivering food in the area, and apparently this worker spotted him next to his wheelchair on his enclosed porch. There was an interesting article. This came out of drcircus.com, talking about how all the carbon Nazis are begging for real global warming, because it's obvious the world is entering a cooling phase. And they're trying to figure out how they can keep the scam going, or at least how they can get out of it without having their reputations as scientists or media personalities or politicians shredded in the process. But it's time to realize, yes, this was a scam. Take something that's happening normally, declared an emergency, and offer to sell everybody a solution, the Hegelian dialectic. And back in the late 1990s, when Al Gore started all of this big scare, it actually was getting warmer. And then nature reversed, and that's when they went into all this hide the decline and the phony charts and the phony data and the rigged computer programs to keep convincing everybody the world was warming and they had to buy and sell carbon credits and pay carbon taxes. But it is probably history's biggest snow job, as the snow in Florida is going to illustrate. And right now, almost the entire continental United States is frozen over, snow in record amounts, ice forming in the Great Lakes. They need to use icebreakers off the coast of Massachusetts. And so at this point, I presume that most Americans are realizing it was a con job. And it was a conspiracy, because of all the people who got together and said, let's convince everybody the world is warming, that carbon dioxide and humans are to blame, and we'll make lots of money, we'll sell lots of books and TV shows. And that's what happened. And it involved Al Gore. It involved the Hadley Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia. It involved Penn State. It involved NASA. It involved NOAA. New Zealand's weather service, Australia's weather service, everybody got sucked into this thing. And they are all guilty of massive fraud against the people of the world. All right, let's take a phone call. Carl in Arizona, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? We lost Carl in Arizona. Okay. Well, fine. Let me leave a message for my control room guy here. Now, as you know, Claire and I dealt with this very, very nasty flu. I'm all but over it, except for stuff in my throat. Claire is, as I said before, she's much better. She's not over it. She's much better. And I am greatly relieved. And again, thank you to everybody who sent in cards and well wishes. But the flu is apparently, it's hit hard and fast. More when we come back from these commercials.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking about the current flu outbreak. And this is a nasty one. And apparently 36 states are reporting very high levels of this flu outbreak, according to the CDC. And this flu is hospitalizing people. And apparently just in Oregon, 120 people have been sent to the hospital by this bug. And so it is a very nasty one. Over in Great Britain, their National Health Service has basically pushed off all non-emergency medical procedures until February, because their hospitals are jam-packed with people who are dealing with this. And it's rather amazing. Remember back in 2009, there was the big flu pandemic scare. And they were talking, the when pigs fly flu, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be terrible. Buy Tamiflu. And Roche Pharmaceuticals made a bunch of money. But in the end, that flu turned out to be milder than the normal seasonal flu. This one is really nasty. Nobody had a warning for it. The only thing we're hearing from the medical industrial complex is this hemming and hawing, trying to explain why this year's flu shot doesn't seem to have any effect on this. And I would be curious to find out if the people who are being hospitalized did get the flu shot, because there was this article that came out, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, saying that flu shots had been stopped in one country because of the realization that the shot wouldn't stop the illness, but it would make it actually worse if the person contracted it. So there would be grounds for an inquiry there as well. It's not going to happen, of course. But it's a nasty one. And if you are starting to feel sick, see your doctor. Don't be brave. Don't go to work. Don't spread this thing around. And Claire and I think we picked this up at her church from all the sneezing, wheezing people there. Another update on the Intel chip story. Apparently, it's now known that flaws have been on those chips, most Intel chips, since 1995. Boy, that's why we need to bring back product liability. So that if companies sell bad products, they can be sued. Now, France is going after companies that deliberately shorten the life of hardware. Planned obsolescence is not a viable model in the current economic condition. Now, apparently Oregon, is suing Monsanto, alleging that the company withheld information about the toxic effects of its PCB products for decades, leading to widespread contamination across the state and health risks for humans, plants, and animals. Well, gee whiz, another corporation selling a bad, dangerous product and hushing it all up. And finally, this is going to be of interest to photographers and astronomers. Apparently, a new type of lens has been developed that completely avoids chromatic aberration. It's called a meta lens. If I have more time, I'd tell you about how it works. There's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. Have a really good weekend. Please stay tuned for John Stedmiller's program. He's got lots of interesting information to share with you. Please take what you learn here and share it with everyone. Again, please take the article on how to have honest elections and send it to everybody that you know. Start building public awareness. There is a better way. Back on Monday. Aloha, America.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.